Good morning and welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Midtown. Such is the nature of life that all it wants and all it asks is the opportunity to appear. And you are that opportunity, and so am I. We welcome you this morning. So happy that you have chosen to join us today. I am Judy Ailey, one of the practitioners for our center here in Midtown, Atlanta. Dr. Bob is on vacation this week, but nonetheless, we have a really great service in store for you. We welcome each of you. Know that our center is a diverse community and welcomes all, no matter where you see yourself in this amazing tapestry of life. Let's get started this morning with our Declaration of Principles. Join me in viewing some of our practitioners and board members as we are reminded of this Declaration of Principles written originally by Dr. Ernest Holmes. Here we go.
I believe.
I believe.
I believe in one God.
One absolute power and first cause to all things.
I believe that this power is perfect love.
And creates out of a desire to express love.
I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience.
I believe in the unity of all life.
And the immortality of the individual soul.
Forever unfolding.
I believe.
I believe in the eternal goodness.
The eternal goodness of God.
The eternal loving kindness.
And the eternal givingness of God to all.
And so it is.
And so it is.
And so it is.
All right. Well, this month we have the theme for the month of July is the game of life and how to play it. And so we're continuing with that theme this Sunday. So we look forward to hearing about that. Also, each Sunday morning, we enjoy the words of one of our practitioners. This week, our practitioner is Lee Huffman, who actually happens to be the president of our board. Thank you, Lee. And he will share his words of wisdom and lead us in an affirmative prayer. Thank you so much, Lee.
Thank you, Judy. Good morning and welcome, everybody. It's good to be here in this virtual world of CSL Midtown. The center has just formed a group, and we're still forming a group, that is looking at our future. The last 4 years have been a little bit difficult, not just at CSL Midtown, Centers for Spiritual Living Midtown, but all over the world. And for all churches and things like that, it's been a difficult time. And so we are putting together a team that is looking at where are we going to be 20 years from now. So it's an exciting time for our center. And as I was looking today, I came across some speaking, some words in the textbook, the Science of Mind textbook. And it's on page 478. For those of you that have it around, it's right at the bottom of the page. And it's Ernest Holmes talking about John 14:1 that says, let not your heart be troubled. And it goes like this. The Master Jesus spoke, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, so believe also in me. His disciples were depressed, having an instinctive sense that Jesus was about to depart from them. They were filled with sadness. It was on the eve of his betrayal that he spoke these words, let not your heart be troubled. With that calm certainty, which has ever been given to the believing, he was not afraid. He had already plumbed the depths of the human experience and penetrated into the beyond. He knew that he was an immortal being. Our hearts are troubled over many things, and our mental burdens often become unbearable. It seems at times as though a cup of bitterness has been brought to us, to unwilling lips, with the demand that they drink. Jesus, standing on the threshold of his greatest experience, foreknew that he would turn apparent defeat into glorious victory. From the calm depths of an undisturbed soul, he spoke the words of comfort to those of lesser understanding. He told them to believe in God, and because of their belief in God, to believe in him also. Again, he is referring to the individual to believe in ourselves because we believe in God. The two are one. We are one with God. We are to know that the passing events cannot hinder an onward march of the soul. The temporal imperfections of the human cannot dim the eternal integrity of the divine. That's the reading from the Science of Mind textbook. And I'd like to go into a spiritual mind treatment. And a spiritual mind treatment is something that is an affirmative prayer that speaks to our hearts and speaks to our mind and helps us reprogram our minds and get it closer to spirit, closer to who we really are as being one with God. Spiritual mind treatment has been amazing for me and for many people. And if there is ever a need in your life and you would like to have a practitioner work with you, they will definitely use spiritual mind treatment in the discussions that you have with them. And you can find the practitioners on the website. And we are all here to help you. So a treatment is spoken, a spoken prayer that is one said in the first person. So I will say it like I'm saying it to me because I can only treat my mind. If there's any part of this that doesn't resonate with you, let it go. But if any of it resonates with you and makes you feel connected better to God, then I ask that you would take that in, think upon it, and let it calm your soul and make it so that our hearts are not troubled. So know this with me, if you will. There is one God, one divine power, one source of everything that is in our universe and created everywhere, one source. We are one with God. I am one with God. The center is one with God. We are, I am an extension of God. From time to time, we will have a troubled heart. From time to time, I will have concerns where I've reflected on the past or I've reflected on things that are frightening me about the future. And I know that these things are not true. That yesterday does not determine what tomorrow is going to bring. Today is the time that I know there is power in my thoughts. The truth is, God is in control. And God looks at his extensions, looks at us to see what we desire. And I know that that's wonderful things can happen out of that, complete changes in my life. There are false facts out there, things that look like they are not good, whether that be a balance sheet and an income statement in a business, which is what I work with, or just memories that are not good and things that we have seen in our life that don't resonate with me. I know that the truth is every moment of every day, God is in control. We will receive direction from God. We will receive the right connections with God. I will feel what I need to believe if I listen to God. And I know that that's true. And I know that all is well. And there is no reason for my heart to be troubled. So we release these words into the universe saying, And so it is.
All right. Well, thank you, Lee. And today we have a wonderful guest speaker for you. He's hardly a guest speaker here in that we have heard him many times, and he's certainly a friend of the center, and we enjoy his inspiring talks. Today, we are blessed to have Reverend Dr. John Carn as our speaker. Reverend John has been on the faculty of the Emerson Theological Institute since 2014, and he is now the Dean of Students there. Let's open our hearts and our minds to his words this morning. Take it away, Reverend Dr. John Carn.
Good morning. Thank you, Judy. Thank you, Midtown, CSL Midtown, for having me. I feel like you're my family, my spiritual family. It's where my spiritual development started. So I have an invitation for you today. I want you to consider it your personal invitation. Imagine right now, I am handing you a beautiful eggshell colored linen envelope with your name elegantly handwritten on it. When you open it, you find an invitation inside engraved in gold that says you are cordially invited to allow this time to be the time that you awaken, truly awaken to the life of beauty and wonder that is yours to claim. What would it be like if you RSVP'd yes to that invitation? What would it be like if you were fully awake and present for it all, meaning fully awake and present to the life you now have, fully awake and present to who you are in every moment, fully awake and present to what brings you joy in the here and now, and fully awake and present to the life you're creating with every thought you think, with every feeling you feel, with every word you speak? What might that awakened life look like? Well, my spiritual family, that is your invitation. Today, we're going to look at the four stages of spiritual consciousness that we might experience if we RSVP'd yes to this invitation of awakening. These stages of spiritual consciousness have been called the kingdoms, and this definition of kingdom fits perfectly in our context this morning. It is a realm or region in which something is dominant. So this morning we will look at the four realms or region which a particular level of awakening is dominant. So are you ready? Good. Let's go. Oh, wait, there's three things before we go. One, I didn't make this up. They originally were downloaded through Reverend Dr. Michael Beckwith of the Agave International Spiritual Center of Truth many years ago, and they're now used throughout our movement for education. Second, as we talk about them, just observe where you hang out. Notice I said, just observe. I didn't say blame or beat yourself up or feel not good enough. Just notice. And likewise, don't be so puffed up on ego that I'm on stage four all the time. Again, just notice. And the truth is that this is much like the five stages of grief by Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, where you might be in one stage one morning and then the third or fourth the next day. These four stages are like that as well. So I invite you to have fresh eyes and fresh ears this morning. Find out what is here for you that you have not seen or heard before. Now, if you're ready, good, so am I. We're starting off with the body. Why the body? Think about this. On the metaphysical chart of the Science of Mind textbook, the body is a form, right? It's a thought, manifestation. No, a thought goes into law and then manifestation. So a body is a form, and it's a manifestation, and manifestations can be changed, right? So what would the level of consciousness be here at this physical body level? Be open about this and kind to yourself, and just observe, as I said earlier. So in this first stage of spiritual consciousness, we are more awake, we're more asleep than awakened. And we have all been there and done that. It's called the why me stage. You could also call it the mortal stage or kingdom stage. At this stage, life is a serious struggle. We feel separated, disconnected, alone, powerless, and a victim of circumstances. We think we have absolutely no control over what is happening in our lives. At this stage, we think that something outside of us is doing something to us. And it could be the God out there trying to get even with you. It could be the devil. Remember Flip Wilson's Geraldine? The devil made me do it. I thought about her the other day. It could be the enemy, as they talk about in the evangelical teachings. It could be our numerology chart, as we talk about in New Age. Cracks on the ground, you could have stepped on one. It could be your parents' fault. Most everything is, right? Could be our partners, the weather, the government, you name it. And there's a perfect way to know if you're in this stage. It's accompanied by quite a bit of noise, drama, complaining, and the back of your hand often to your forehead as you say these words, why does this always happen to me? Or these sister words, why is this happening to me again? Or their cousin, if only he or she would do this to me or that to me, I would be happy, okay, and at peace. Do you recognize any of those? The opportunity to awaken that we have at this stage is huge. It is the opportunity to give up blame and to begin to take responsibility for our own lives. We have this liberating opportunity to awaken to the truth that we are not victims of circumstance or fate. Others, the economy, the weather, the political climate, none of that controls us. We have the opportunity to awaken to the truth that we are empowered beings endowed with the very nature of that which created us, which is the ability to create. I'm going to say that again. It's a really big one. We are empowered beings. We are endowed with the very nature of that which created us, which is the ability to create on our own. And that moves us to the second stage of spiritual consciousness or kingdom of awakening, which is the by me stage or the metaphysical stage. In this stage, we learn that we are not victims of circumstance. We begin to understand that we are part of something bigger than we are. And there is a law or a precise, specific way this something bigger than we are works, and we can work in harmony with it. Holmes writes in the Science of Mind textbook on page 38 that we are willing, thinking, knowing centers of consciousness or of life. We are surrounded by, immersed in, flowing through a creative something, and it's flowing through us. The sum total of our thoughts will create a tendency in this law that will cause us to react to us according to the sum total of that belief. Ignorance of the law excuses no one from its effect. If then certain specific ways of thought and belief have produced limitations, other beliefs will change them. We learn that things don't happen to us, but they happen according to our belief system. We can learn that we can change our thinking and change our lives. In this stage, we learn that we are creative beings. That's a very, very empowering place to be. It is a place we all need to awaken to in order to experience the beauty of life that Spirit intends for us to live and to experience. This is a stage where we learn there are amazing tools to help us on this journey, like affirmations, visualizing, vision boards, spiritual mind treatment, affirmative prayer. We can learn that if we can see it with our mind's eye and feel that it is done, we can create it, and we can. I love consciously creating stuff and watching it manifest. Someday when you have time, ask our Vance, who's running the sound and IT stuff, what he had on his vision board, unbeknownst to me, and it manifested in our lives. So this stage or kingdom is critically important, but it isn't the final stage in our evolution of consciousness. There's an opportunity for greater awakening here as we move into this next stage, stage three, which is the through me stage or the mystic stage. In this stage, we begin to release control and replace it with a sense of personal relationship with something that is more powerful than we are. At this stage, we begin to realize that we are spiritual beings having a human experience. It is called the through me stage or the mystic stage. So don't freak out because I said the word mystic. This is not the mystic that's a robed guru sitting cross-legged atop a mountain, umming all day. It's not so. And actually, that sounds pretty good to me. The mystic is one who senses the divine presence. The mystic feels God's presence, perhaps not all the time, but certainly has extreme moments feeling it. And I think that goes for a lot of us here today. I know that I've had moments where I've felt the Spirit of God many times, but it comes and it goes for most of us. This is a space where we simply desire to be a vessel for God. It is a mystic who sings, "Use me, O God, I stand for you, and here I'll abide as you show me all that I must do." That's Ernest Holmes. Our guidance sometimes comes to us in the form of a vision, but it could also be a thought or some whispered words to us. We find that we're not so attracted to the outcome we are working on. Yet in this relaxed receptivity, we are more available to our greatest good. If you remember the phrase, this or something better, as we release control of that which we're working on to universal law. So in this stage of evolution, we bring in some other spiritual tools. Those tools are visioning, present moment awareness, forgiveness. We want about 75% of our thoughts focused on whatever this is we are bringing into our lives. And so we use these extra tools to help our mind to get there. On page 268 of the Holmes of the Science of Mind textbook, Ernest Holmes writes that true prayer must be thy will be done. But the implication relative to the will of God in this prayer is not a submission to the inevitability of evil or limitation. It is knowledge that the will of God is always good. Now, a lot of us have had fear about turning something over to God or to universal law for its highest and best, or our highest and best manifestation. We need not worry that we will somehow be forced to live on the streets or take a serious cut in pay, or we'll have to leave somebody to make this growth work. That's not how it works. The highest and best is what comes through when we allow God or universal law to create for us. So while the stage of the mystic is very, very powerful, there is yet another stage, and it is the as me or master kingdom. The Christ, the Buddha, those are as me or masters in our awareness. It's a combination of the metaphysician and the mystic. Jesus is our primary example of the master teacher or the way shower. This is when we are in absolute union with the divine. There's no sense of separation. There's no division. You may recall Joel Goldsmith wrote, "Do not pray to God for things. Pray to know God, and all these things will appear." For those of us who have been fortunate enough to study Goldsmith, we know that his way of treating was just the recognition of God. Going to God is. For those, when a master sees lack, he or she knows it's just a place to call forward the presence and the power of God. It's an opportunity to experience more of God in that department of your life. You might remember Goldsmith's work was called The Way, and it was just that step one of treatment and an expansion of it. This is how Jesus could turn water into wine, allegedly, feed the thousands, heal the sick, raise the dead. More realistically, when he was faced with lack or limitation, he saw an opportunity to bring God into that situation. And he told his followers they could do this too. And they proceeded to create the story in a way that would catch the intended audience's attention of that day. Holmes wrote in the final conclusion of The Science of Mind, page 423, that the essence of spiritual mind healing and all true religious philosophy is an inner realization of the presence of perfection that is within us and all around us. We cannot be separate from it. It's simply not possible. We're living and having our life in this substance. It is the hope of heaven, the voice of God proclaiming, I am that which thou art that which I am. And that is the as me, or the master stage of spiritual consciousness. I am that which thou art, and thou art that which I am, and that which God is, and that which I am is love, only love. And we know that when we're in that divine state, 100%. During our lifetimes, we will spend time in all the kingdoms, and it isn't a linear process. We do go back and forth, switch in metaphorical residences, depending on the issue or the situation at hand. It's like the stages of grief. We don't go in the order as Kubler-Ross defines, but we go back and forth. Remember now, if you would, that invitation that I gave to you at the beginning of this talk. You're cordially invited to awaken, to truly awaken to the beauty of life that you are meant to live. What are you going to awaken to this morning? To the realization that if you are hanging out in the why me or the mortal stage, you have an opportunity to embody the truth that you are a powerful and empowered being endowed with the very nature of that which created you, the very ability to create for yourself. Are you ready to master manifesting? Or is it the realization that while the by me or the metaphysical kingdom is absolutely vitally necessary, but it isn't the end, and that you can awaken to something even more powerful, the truth that you don't have to make things happen, but you can make them welcome by giving up control of how it comes about, the same way as we release in our spiritual mind treatments. We give it to something greater to welcome, to bring it into our lives, and something greater than you in your finite humanness. It is not my will but thine, as the Master Jesus said, knowing that God's will is always for the highest, highest good. Let us get confident about that if you haven't already. There should be no fear ever when praying or treating for this or something better. Are you ready to cultivate the as-me mystic consciousness where there is no sense of separation and there is only love? Wherever you are ready to go, know that you're supported and embrace the empowered you. And we give thanks that it is so, and so it is.
Thank you, Dr. John. An awesome talk this morning. And for those of you that didn't catch it, what he said was, on my dream board, there's a picture of an Akita. And although we didn't necessarily want another Akita, one showed up in our life just because it was on my board. So he's a wonderful boy, and he's sitting right here. So with that we can create the life we want, I'm here to go into our affirmation of prosperity and our time of giving. So we have the opportunity to support this center. You can go to cslmidtown.org/donate, click on the QR code, I'll read our affirmation. You read it with me. I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow, and all that I share with life returns to me, multiplied abundantly. And so it is. And so there's a couple of announcements, not much. We're online for the next few weeks. We will be back in person the first weekend in August. We'll do a potluck that weekend at the Garden Hills Community Center. So if you're in Atlanta, want to join us for that, please do put that on your calendar and plan for that. The rest of the Sundays for the summer, we are online just like we are now, and welcome you to be here with us for all of those. And Dr. Bob will be back next week. He's at teen camp this week, supporting all of the youth that have gone to that wonderful camp in Oregon. And I'm sure he's loving it out there, the cool weather and all the youth, which he definitely supports and loves being with. So we've got that to look forward to next week. So if you will, with me, we'll say our closing affirmation, our affirmation of life. I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding, and I am grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me. And so it is. And if you want, we're on Zoom. You can join us on Zoom. I get Dr. John over there to have a conversation, discussion of his talk. If you've got any questions about that, we are there, and we'll see you next week. Thanks.